You're on ABC Tropical North looking at the hip pocket again today, and Frances Easton from Allman Partners is with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Christy.
Something you've been noticing recently and particularly something that is slipping through the cracks for some people when they're preparing their will is what they need to consider for their super nominations. What have you seen?
Yeah, it's very common to see that people aren't really aware, firstly, that superannuation doesn't make up a part of your estate. And what I mean by that is when you do your wills, you may allocate that your superannuation goes to a particular person, but the superannuation trustee won't necessarily, well, they don't need to actually invoke that actual will. So the common things I see is people aren't making nominations on their superannuation as to where they'd like that superannuation benefit to go upon their passing.
So what do you have to do to ensure that your remaining super after you've passed actually goes on to the person you want it given to?
Yeah, so superannuation funds, when you originally go get your first job or you start a new job and you get a new superannuation fund, they will ask you within the paperwork, what would you like to nominate on your superannuation as your death benefit? What's your beneficiary? So I think it does look a lot like marketing material at times.
I had no idea.
Yeah, yep. So certainly when we get our applications, it will be somewhere or it'll be a separate document that you should receive from the superannuation fund. And that should be in most employer packages or the superannuation providing that document to you. And, you know, when you look at the document, it can be confusing as well. So you really need to understand the definitions between different nominations within superannuation. And there are really two defined nominations you can make to super. The first one is a binding nomination with superannuation, which means that if I was to pass and I had a binding nomination and I said I wanted to go to my husband, well, the trustee must abide by that. So binding as in the name. If you make a non-binding nomination, I might still make that non-binding nomination to my husband, but effectively the trustee doesn't have to abide by that if I have other dependents. So I've got two children as well, so the trustee might decide if I was to pass and I had a non-binding nomination not to actually take that on board to 100% to the husband. They may leave some of that money on trust for the children.
So why would someone choose a non-binding nomination over a binding nomination if they're stating a name?
Yeah, so non-binding nominations, effectively you may not actually have a dependent is one reason. You may want to leave it to the estate as well, so that's something to consider, rather than a specific person, so a legal representative of that estate. So it really just comes back to a number of circumstances, and it does get a little bit complex these days with split families and you know, some people don't even have dependents. So under the binding nominations, you can't leave it to a, you know, non-dependent as such. So those sort of things do need to be taken into account with the CIST Act.
So what happens then to that lump of money if it isn't a binding nomination and you are the person who was named as that nomination beneficiary by the person who passed away?
Yeah. Well, the protocol will be initially, firstly, for the superannuation fund to find if there's any dependents involved in that person who has passed. And if that's a no, effectively, and they've maybe left the money to the sister or brother, because certainly they're not seen as dependents, they will then go and make a decision upon, they may do even advertising to see if there's any dependents available at that point in time. And if not, and nothing comes about, more than likely they will pay it out to that person. But, you know, I always say that you probably don't want to be risking those things. In the case of that, you might want to make a binding nomination to the estate, and then they have to abide by passing it on to the will, and then it would be paid out as per your wishes in the will. So there's a few things that just need to be aware of as you're looking at your nominations.
On ABC Tropical North, you're hearing from Frances Easton, Director of Allman Partners, and we're looking at some of the cracks that show in your will, particularly where your nominations to superannuation is concerned. And how often do you see people tripped up by this where their superannuation isn't going to who they may have nominated in their will?
Yeah, the first one I see a bit is when people come into us initially is that they just don't have a nomination. So I have seen cases where they haven't made a nomination at all, and the intention was for it to go to the wife in the will. And what happened there was the trustees of the super fund said, no, you have minor children under the age of 18. We are going to hold X amount for those two children in trust until they're 18 years of age. Now, that certainly doesn't help the wife who's trying to support the children at the time. So I think it's one of those things that you just want to make sure that you've got those nominations in place.
Do you need to revisit that nomination, or what if you want to change it?
Yeah, so certainly for most superannuation funds out there, they lapse these binding nominations every 3 years. So it's really important that you consider that you don't miss those expiry dates. And that is another common thing I do see. We tend to get busy. We get these super funds will send you a notice out, or they'll email you, whatever their process is these days, and let you know, look, it's going to be expiring in the next month, for example, and you just need to put that nomination and renew it. So it might be the same still, that nomination, but you do need to submit it for another 3 years. There are other superannuation funds out there as well that have what we call non-lapsing binding nominations. So under their trust deed, they don't actually lapse at all. So the other flip side of that is to make sure if your circumstances change, you really need to make sure that you change that nomination. So if you choose that you don't want to leave it to the ex-spouse anymore, you certainly need to consider those changes. You need to make sure that you always have a nomination at all, where it's non-binding or binding on super, because at the end of the day, the superannuation fund does not need to abide by the will. It doesn't make up part of your estate. So this is where you really need to determine, firstly, what appropriate nomination is required for your situation, but definitely make sure you've got one or the other.